A little background on the Captain Planet Foundation. It evolved from an idea that, Ted Turner had.
Right.
Years ago, right?
Yeah, it was the Captain Planet Foundation actually launched out of Captain Planet and the Planeteers, which was an animated series that ran from 1990 to 96. It was wildly popular, and it ran in 100 countries in over 23 languages and really activated youth to think about their activities and how they impacted their environment, their communities, and the world around them. And that's exactly what Ted Turner had hoped to do. And so the foundation kicked off because the kids were activated and they wanted to put that into action. And there really wasn't a funding mechanism out there for schools and what we call informal educators. So nature centers, after school programs that would allow them, you know, to give the kids some real activity to do.
Environmental stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
Was, I think, a foundation of the youth movement of the 60s and the 70s,
right.
the counterculture movement, as some have put it. Do you think that generation, the baby boomers, if you will, has done a good job transferring that attitude to the current generation?
Not necessarily. I think that this generation, the millennials and this next group that's coming up, I'm not sure what we're calling them, I think that they have taken it upon themselves, and certainly with, I think, the technology and the ability to share information, they're just asking a whole different set of questions to society, to employers, to product manufacturers that are causing a lot of shift. I think that the baby boomers did it in the food industry, and I think that this generation, the millennials, this next group of 20-somethings, really who we call the Planeteers, who grew up on the cartoon, are doing it sort of more broadly in product and in community and in energy and water.
One of the efforts that the Captain Planet Foundation is involved with is the Learning Gardens program.
Right.
Essentially teaching kids how to garden.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, the Learning Gardens are really intended to get kids out of the classroom and into an outdoor learning lab, for lack of a better word. So activating across multiple disciplines the opportunity for learning outside. So if you're going to learn about plant parts, you could learn that with a plant as opposed to out of a book. That's going to deepen the knowledge, but also build that environmental stewardship, that love of nature. And because we often protect and pay attention to what we love, it's a great way for us to build that connection for kids who, you know, they're not getting outside as often as they have before.
But you've created a curriculum, an actual course of study with learning objectives and goals and things of that sort.
Well, they're lessons that are tied to existing curriculum based in the Common Core standards. So we're not writing curriculum. What we are saying, if you're going to teach this particular lesson in history in fourth grade on, let's say, the Victory Gardens, then why don't we actually go out and create that so the kids can have an actualized learning experience?
And what age groups are we talking about?
The lessons are currently written for K through 5, and we're working right now with some pilot schools to do the 6th through 8th grade lessons.
Part of your lesson plan that you have is actually growing a vegetable garden, I would imagine.
Sure. It's all edibles. Yeah, and intentionally, because there's the other great part, which is developing a palate for the youth so they start eating fresh fruits and vegetables earlier. And so our garden coordinator, Kyla Zero-Moore, who's just brilliant, has actually been partnering with the school system health coordinators and with the Georgia Organics Farm to School program to make sure that the lessons that we've got that are seasonal, that are growing particular vegetables out in the garden, are correlated to the vegetable of the month that they're sourcing locally. So the kids go out, they sample it in the garden, because part of the garden program comes with the whole mobile cooking cart and tasting cart so that they can really experience that food. And then they go into the cafeteria for that month, and there that vegetable is that they get to eat on an ongoing basis, and hopefully it becomes part of their diet.
So it's an entire vertical operation.
Right.
From sowing the seed to harvesting the crop.
Yeah.
To sticking it on the table.
Exactly.
Consuming it.
Well, I mean, because that's important, yeah. Right? We don't really think about food sourcing any longer. Kids, you know, for the most part, think that carrots come out of a plastic bag. They don't really realize what food origins are any longer. So it's a great opportunity to express that learning as well.
How many of the materials does the Captain Planet Foundation provide to the school? Do they provide the seed? Do they provide shovels and the soil and
everything. Like, yeah, it's a really interesting the process. We got a grant from Kaiser Permanente to examine the over 700 gardens that Captain Planet Foundation had funded around the country over the last 20 years, because it's a decades-old organization. We're just coming up on our millionth child funded this year, which is an extraordinary benchmark for us. And so we went back and did an analysis of why do school gardens thrive and why do they fail, and really created a turnkey cost-effective program where for $2,500 we can put a garden into a school. It gives them four learning beds. It gives them all the soil, all the compost, the seeds, the plants. It gives the teachers not just the lessons but all of the supplies they need to teach the lessons. We put the teachers through a training conference. That's a two-day conference that we do with several partners. They get the mobile cooking cart. And then the most beautiful thing is they get a summer garden management with Atlanta Community Food Bank and Truly Living Well Urban Gardeners, which takes care of that product through the summer, harvests it, and puts it into the mouths of Atlantans who are working with those organizations, and then make sure that those beds are prepared and ready for the planting as they come in the fall.
And where does this program exist in the metro area now? What schools have adopted this?
Sure. So we have our first pilot schools were up in Cobb County, and we put the gardens into 12 there, really as we were building the program and working with them. And Ford Elementary School and Catherine Padgett up there, which has been, recognized by probably every organization that looks at school garden exceptionalism, has been a great partner for us up there. Sally Creel, who's the science curriculum coordinator for Cobb County Public Schools, has been a great partner for us. And so Cobb County was our original program. And then the Candida Fund came on with 40 gardens for Atlanta Public Schools. Dole Foods came in to put another 10 gardens up in Cobb. Scana Energy came in to put four gardens into Gwinnett County. Publix has got a couple of gardens going in up in Cobb County, and we're starting to get a lot of requests from the other school systems, and so really it's just about partnering up corporate partners who this is part of their corporate social responsibility, whether it's because of the environmental aspect or for the health and wellness benefits for the kids, and getting them connected to those school systems.
And you have to deal with a system. You can't deal with the individual schools to get approval?
We do both. I mean, because we're doing it at such scale, we're working with the systems, the facility directors, and making sure that we're putting gardens in places that are approved so it's not part of their later expansion and capital improvement expectations, because you don't want to put a garden somewhere that 2 years from now they're going to expand the school and then you got to move the garden. So we work with them very closely, and also making sure that we've got water sourcing. Ideally, we're catching it, putting it into cisterns, and then running irrigation over to the gardens so we're not using potable water for that. So it's a great program.
Have you received any pushback from schools or groups about this radical new idea, this environmentalism that you're injecting into the school system?
Not necessarily. I mean, the schools have been doing it for a long time. This is really a way of capturing all those best practices and giving the schools every tool that they need to have a really successful program. You know, we're even working with some of the school systems who already have gardens. Atlanta Public Schools, there's 47 gardens in the ground right now. Up in Cobb, I think there's over 50. So not only are we breaking ground for new gardens, but we're also working with the school systems to see where can we overlay this program on existing gardens that can make them be even more successful.
And what are the goals for the future as far as the Captain Planet Foundation's Learning Gardens program? I mean, where do you see this going, say, in 5 years?
Well, part of our partnership with Dole, the intention, because another partner in that is the Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, his Healthy Kids Initiative. So we've been doing this really interesting public-private partnership to get the gardens in schools, get the kids developing a palate for fresh, healthy food, and then the Healthy Kids Initiative with the Lieutenant Governor's office is really about activating their physical activity. So those two things to help really reduce this incredible obesity issue and all these other concerns that we've got around kids right now and the way that they're interacting with food. So when we first were brought to Dole to talk about bringing them in, we wanted to create a model here in Georgia that we could replicate throughout the Southeast. So that's our plan. We want to be bringing those the governors and lieutenant governor's offices in those states into the conversation too, because it's really important that the kids see that all of the people in their community are saying the same thing and speaking the same language around health and wellness. And then right now we're also working with a group out in Ventura County called the Students for Environmental Education and Agriculture to put the program out there. Ventura is an interesting county. It's sort of wedged between L.A. County, Santa Barbara County, and the counties that serve San Francisco, and it's the great forgotten county of Southern California. And so we're really excited to work there with that organization. And California has an environmental education graduation requirement now. And so these agricultural classes that the kids are studying are part of their actual requirement for graduation.
Lisa Carter is the executive director of the Captain Planet Foundation. Lisa, good to see you. Thanks for the information.
We appreciate being here.